Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back to the Testudo Talk podcast. I'm Andrew Chodas, live from Ryan Field in Northwestern, where we just saw Maryland football stunningly lose to the Wildcats 33-27. Definitely I don't know if program altering is the right word to use, but obviously just unbelievably disappointing for Maryland. Dropped to 5-3 on the season. This was a team a few weeks ago that was 5-0 and battling toe-to-toe with Ohio State, and now there's a real chance that they're going to be fighting for bowl eligibility. So, Emmett, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think everyone agrees with you, is that this was, you know, just the kind of the continuation of we've seen this bit of a free fall from Maryland. I mean, you know, Maryland, the jokes have been there for years about how Maryland will start fast and then fall off and finish the season slow. But this is about, I would say, as drastic of a drop off as I've seen, at least. Like you said, they were 5-0. They played Ohio State tough for a lot of that game. And then just everything flips on its head. That loss to Illinois last week. I mean, we did our instant reaction podcast last week, or not last week, but last game after Illinois game. And we were pretty harsh on the team. I think we were, I mean, there was a lot of frustration, obviously, because that was a game that they totally should have won. But, you know, we had the caveat with everything we said that episode that we're just overreacting. We'll probably look back in a couple weeks and, you know, it's just one game. But now you sit there and maybe we weren't even harsh enough, because I mean, we weren't overreacting at all, because now you lose to Northwestern. Now you're 5-3 with three straight losses, and you look at the rest of the schedule and, I mean, any hopes of, you know, the season that maybe we thought this team was capable of having before the season are pretty much out the window at this point, I think.
Yeah, no, and I promise we'll get into the actual specifics of the game first, but just to kind of continue on that. And I mean, and again, like I said, we joke, right? It's just that Maryland, oh, they always start 4-0 and then they lose. But the numbers are true, right? I mean, they don't lie. It's that Maryland, they've never won out of the bye week under Mike Locksley, which is a crazy stat.
Mike Locksley has never won a game after the bye week anywhere as a head coach, not even just in Maryland.
That is a crazy stat. And post game, Sean Jones came up and I told him that, and he's been here six years. And he goes, damn. he's like, yeah, no. So it's like,
what else can you say though? I mean,
it's bad. Well, I think it's the thing about, right, what is Maryland football? And nobody really knows, because you think, oh, every year they're there, they got it. Nah, they don't. But maybe next year. And I think this year, out of the past 4 years, I think has been easily the most disappointing, just because I think people knew what their ceiling was, or thought what their ceiling was. And yeah, they just lost to a Northwestern team that many projected to be the worst team in the conference. And they were outplayed. It wasn't even like they got unlucky. And we can get into this. Maryland got outplayed for four quarters by Northwestern. And it's kind of just what we've seen time and time again. Maryland, they kill themselves with a lot of self-inflicted mistakes. And that started on the second drive of the game. You know, you're up 7-0. You have a dominant first drive, four plays, or I think Northwestern's first plays. You get them off the field in like five or six plays. And then first play of the second drive, and the ball just comes out of Talia Tagovailoa's hands. I mean, I was sitting up here in the press box, and I hear, oh, I'm like, whoa, what happened? And all of a sudden I see the ball's in Northwestern's hands. It's just, it's these plays like this. And then once that happened, Northwestern got the momentum and they ran with it. And Northwestern's offense under backup quarterback Brendan Sullivan was really good. Maryland's defense was really bad. Emmett?
Yeah, agreed. Just to hammer home the point you said about Northwestern expected to be the worst team in the Big Ten. Northwestern isn't the worst team in the Big Ten. I think we can.
That is true.
Segueing this into to a separate point. Northwestern is not the worst team in the Big Ten, maybe like we thought. But let's make no mistake here. This is a team playing under an interim head coach with so many players leaving in the offseason after everything that happened, starting its backup quarterback against a team that was coming off of a bye week that has expectations of being much better than it is. So, you know, Northwestern has played probably punched a little bit above its weight this year, and credit to David Braun for the job he's done and getting those guys to play hard. And they seem to be having like an outside chance of making a bowl game, which is pretty impressive. But even so, I mean, this loss just like, it can't happen. It can't happen for Maryland football if you want to take that next step as a program, like we've been talking about. And maybe that's just not what this program is. I mean, this is, once again, this is a couple hours or about an hour after the game ends. So everything's very fresh, but it just feels like another instance of like, maybe Maryland football kind of is what it is. And maybe that next step doesn't exist, or at least doesn't exist under Mike Locksley, because we've seen no indication that this team has taken any step forward this year. If anything, it seems like they've regressed. And then if you look at what they're potentially losing this offseason, especially at the quarterback position, which I'm sure we'll talk about Talia a little bit more, you know, the future, a game like this, it's one game, but it's also indicative of maybe a little bit more than that, and potentially starts maybe ticking the clock on what you look for moving forward for this program, what this program can be, not just this year, but in the next 3-4 years.
I have a feeling this pod is going to go very, very long, purely because there just is so much to discuss. And we haven't even discussed the actual game yet. We're just talking big picture stuff. And I'm going to end on one more big picture thing before we do get into the specifics of the plays. Is Mike Locksley, is he on the hot seat?
He's not on the hot seat in the sense that he's going to get fired this year. That's not going to happen. I mean, even if the unimaginable happens and they drop 7 straight games to end the season, they don't make a bowl game, which would be like insane, but you look at the schedule they have.
Not crazy.
They're playing Penn State this next coming week, which, you know, just squeaked by Indiana, but is still much better than they showed this week. Then they play at Nebraska, which is 90,000 seats, one of the most intimidating atmospheres in the country, and a team that is probably better than the Northwestern team they just lost to in front of like 50 fans. Then they host Michigan. Yeah, maybe that's generous. Then they host Michigan, which we know what Michigan is. Michigan's one of the best teams in the country. Sign stealing aside, Michigan is going to be heavily favored in that game. And then you finish at Rutgers, which looks like a much better team than we've seen from Rutgers in recent years. I think Maryland's going to be an underdog in their next 4 games. It's not out of the question that they could not make a bowl game. If that doesn't happen, I don't think Locksley's getting fired off the bat. But like I said, maybe this just starts to tick the clock towards maybe where we could be heading, where if they're not able to take advantage of this team that they had with this assembly of talent, and last year you saw kind of the same thing with missed opportunities, then you start to question what maybe the ceiling is under Locksley, and you have to have those hard conversations if it does get to that point.
Yeah, I'll end with this. In the press conference, the man that sat behind me was athletic director Damon Evans. He did not look so enthralled during that press conference, understandably so. But Mike Locksley, he took a lot of the blame. He said we have to reevaluate things, and that starts with myself. So to the game, to the 4 quarters that were just played in back of me.
Save big money on everything for your next project at Menards. Spring is here, making it the perfect time for outdoor projects. Suncast storage sheds are an excellent solution for protecting outdoor lawn and gardening tools. They're easy to assemble, and the all-weather construction provides water resistance and UV protection. Save big on Suncast storage sheds. View our selection of Suncast products today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
So Maryland starts the game off hot, like we said. Northwestern, they have that short field. They make it 7-7. And then really after that, statistically, it's a really even game, but it's mistakes that Maryland makes that kind of gives Northwestern that advantage.
Yeah, especially on the defensive end. Like I said, like you said, Brennan Sullivan was not impressive in his most recent two starts, his only two starts of the season, because he's normally the backup for Ben Bryant. Squeaks by Howard, and then they just anemic on offense against Nebraska. And today, I mean, Brennan Sullivan today was cutting up Maryland's secondary. A secondary that, by the way, was getting back Tarheeb Still, was getting back Dante Trader, and looked to be having kind of an influx of some of the guys who have been injured. You get the bye week coming at the right time. Maybe it helps shore up that group a little bit. And Brennan Sullivan throws for 265 yards, two touchdowns, and most importantly, he didn't turn the ball over. And it's not even that he didn't turn the ball over.
Yeah.
There was never even like a moment where it was like a dropped interception or something. It was just like Maryland, he took care of the ball and Maryland couldn't make him uncomfortable. The offensive line for Northwestern is really bad. They allow a lot of sacks, and maybe some of that's on the quarterback as well. And Maryland started hot. Maryland got two sacks on the first drive.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was one or two more the entire game. It was like Maryland's defense played maybe a little bit better if you include a second half performance than the 33 points that it allowed. But at the end of the day, allowing 33 points to a team like that, that has had nowhere close to that kind of scoring output this season, at least on a consistent basis, is it can't happen if Maryland's defense, like we've been saying, can try to claim that it's one of the best in the Big Ten. It just isn't. If you're putting up performances like that, you have no way you can possibly make that claim and back it up with any sort of evidence.
Emmett, Northwestern hadn't scored more than 20 points in a first half since October 24th of 2020.
I remember that game.
That game happened to be a 43-3 win against Maryland.
Talia Tagovailoa's first start in a Maryland uniform.
This is a Northwestern team that has not put up 20 points in a first half in 3 years. And Brendan Sullivan, a backup quarterback, carved Maryland's healthy secondary up. Carved them up. But like you said, and like we mentioned on our preview podcast, if Northwestern wanted to win this game, they were not necessarily the turnover battle, but they were going to need to win the mistake battle. And they did that and some today. It was just between Maryland committed four after the whistle penalties. Northwestern had one. Northwestern had zero turnovers. Maryland had one, and then Jayshon Jones also fumbled the ball, which was
including the interception at the end of the game.
Oh, my apologies. And then also the Jayshon Jones fumble, which was recovered by Maryland, so it could have been three.
Yeah, that was an arrow.
And Roman Hemby also fumbled early in the second half. That was recovered too, so that could have been four. It's these things we talk about week in and week out. It's Maryland's beating themselves. They beat themselves, and they did that so much today. And it's just. And if you're a Maryland fan, it's so frustrating because there's so many games. It's the past three games, they've had opportunities to win. And it's just one moment that leads into two or three moments. And the next thing you know, the game's over. It's so frustrating, right? From a Maryland standpoint of how many mistakes that they're committing that turn out to be so costly when the game ends.
Yeah. And I mean, we could talk about the play at the end that sealed the game, which is Talia's interception. You know, it was a massive overthrow of Dyches. It was just right into the safety's hands. You know, it happens, I guess. But the thing is, like, if you just look at that drive as a whole, after everything that we just talked about, after all the mistakes that Maryland had, its defense didn't play well against a not very good offense. Its offense was struggling to move the ball with consistency. You know, it scored 27 points, which, you know, you can't hate too much, but especially in short yard situations, cannot get the job done. I mean, they didn't score a touchdown. They had two and goal situations, and they didn't score a touchdown either. And then on that last drive, you're driving down the field with momentum, with the possibility after all of that to somehow, some way, leave with a win. And Ty Felton is wide open on the sideline, and you know, I don't know who it's on. It's a miscommunication. Talia throws it a little bit past where Ty Felton is. It hits his fingertips. Would have been first and goal with about 30 seconds left. That's incomplete. Next play, airmails Dyches. It goes right to the safety. It's what we've been saying about Talia for so long, and it's not going to change. I mean, you know, it's not going to change. I think we can agree that. I've never seen a quarterback throw so many back-breaking interceptions with consistency. Every single time it seems like Talia throws an interception, it's at the worst possible moment. And it's like, it wasn't even a guy that was super wide open. I mean, I know that in that situation, you can take some chances because, you know, you're kind of just trying to make something happen. But even so, it's just like, it's not only the mental stuff, but it's the execution stuff. It was just like, nothing was working for this team today. And it just felt like even when they had the ball down six with less than a minute left in opposing territory, moving the ball in a drive, it didn't even really feel like they were going to win that game. It felt like you knew something was coming because it was just that kind of day for them. You knew that it wasn't going to end the way that Maryland wanted it to. That's kind of what it felt like, at least for me. I don't know if that was the same vibe in the stadium today.
Yeah, no, it you know, you kind of looked up and you're like, the fact that Maryland has a chance to win this game, they're down 33-27 and they have the ball 30-yard line. Like, they don't deserve to be in this situation, but here they are, right? And I want to go back to that Ty Felton, you know, miss specifically, because that's a ball you need to have if you're Ty Felton. I'm sorry, but that ball, it's in your hands. It's just, I don't get it. And then Jayshon Jones, I think he kind of hinted at that after the game. He's like, he said, especially, you know, at the end there was, you know, there were some plays that we should have, could have, can and will make, and we don't make them, and that really hurt us. And it's just that, right? It's the opportunities, it's those specific plays where you can't do something or you need to do something, and Maryland has been on the wrong end of all of those in the past three games.
I mean, don't forget that Jayshon Jones also was, I mean, Talia made an amazing throw on the run to Jayshon Jones in the end zone. And it kind of looked like it went through his hands. It was a little bit of a wobbly pass, but I mean, it went through his hands, and that's a six-year receiver at that point. You know, you probably got to haul that in. He looked pretty disappointed after he didn't make that play. Like you said, it's the self-inflicted wounds that have killed Maryland in all of their losses this year and have even hurt them in some of their wins. And when you start to see it all kind of boil over as we have in these last three games, it's just so incredibly, I mean, I can just imagine how incredibly frustrating it is to watch as Mike Locksley, you know, who obviously bears a lot of the blame for it, but for him, a lot of what we think of him is dictated by what his players do on the field. And a lot of times it's just execution mistakes where maybe the scheme is right, but his players on the field just aren't able to come through when they need to. And, you know, that's the difference between a team that wins a game like this, between a team that comes off of his bye week and puts up a stinker like this versus a team that you see, you know, some of these other teams out there that come off their bye week and they look refreshed and refocused and are executing well. Mike Locksley has never won a game after the bye week. So, you know, whatever he's doing to prepare his team obviously isn't working.
Yeah. And then it's just like, I know you mentioned earlier about the red zone, you're getting stopped at the 1 yard line. Like, Maryland has five trips to the red zone. They only come away with 20 points. Northwestern had six trips. They come away with 30 points in the red zone. I mean, statistically speaking though, just kind of looking up and down, it was a very even game, which kind of tells a lot, you know, in its own, but it's those specific moments, right, that time and time again continue, you know, to plague the Terps. And it's just, right, it's like it's in the first half, right, it's 17-10 Northwestern, and Maryland has a chance, 21-14, my apologies, and Maryland has a chance to, you know, to go in and tie the game, and they get down to the 1 yard line, and instead of, you know, pounding the ball in, Mike Locksley decides to do, you know, the brotherly shove with Talia Tagovailoa. So it's decisions like that, which I don't really understand. And you come away with no points. And look at the score, 33-27. Again, you don't know game script, but that's 7 points right there. You lose by six. So it's just, it's those moments.
Well, not, I mean, they're doing the tush push. I prefer the name tush push over brotherly shove, just for the record. And I'm not looking forward to seeing it used against my favorite NFL team tomorrow many times. But even so, like, they did that, I believe, on second down. And from when they got to the 1 yard line, I think third. It was on a Littleton rush. Was it third down?
So it was third down was the failed tush push, and then fourth down was the play action. And I don't know what Talia's doing there.
They, long story short, they threw the ball twice from the 1 yard line, I believe.
Yeah.
Which, like, I know your running game hasn't been great, but man, I mean, like, you gotta just run the ball, I think. I mean, it feels like Josh Gattis, the offensive coordinator, has done overall a pretty all right job in some scenarios this game in terms of just like scripting games and game planning. But it feels like, especially in short yardage situations, we saw this with Dan Enos last year too. Maybe it's just a personnel thing, but it just seems like they're trying to get too cute sometimes. And they're not just like, just play football. You're supposed to be the better team. You're favored by two touchdowns in this game. Just play better than them. You don't have to like pull out all the tricks. do the flea flickers and all that. Just like, just play football. You should beat them, just regardless.
No. I want to mention the flea flicker thing. I don't remember when they did it, but I know they did a flea flicker, and Talia had his receiver wide open downfield for a touchdown and severely underthrew him. So again, I said this first time, but it's those moments, right? You have so many opportunities and they can't finish on those opportunities. And that's what just makes this loss so much more frustrating for Maryland fans. And you mentioned just Josh Gattis, you threw his name out there. I was wondering, do you think that the effects of someone's arrest and Gattis in the news had anything to do with this loss?
It would be hard to say that like it wasn't on their minds. I'm talking about the players on their minds during this week of practice. But I find it hard to believe that a guy that's only been around the program for a couple months would have any sort of impact in terms of scheme or anything like that. Maybe if you're talking in terms of focus, I could see it a little bit, but like, I don't know. I think at the end of the day, if anyone's going to blame this loss or any of the mistakes they made on that, it's probably just more of an excuse than anything, because I can't imagine that something like that would affect the team too much. I mean, it's kind of in the background. I guess you don't want any distractions, but there are teams with much greater distractions than this one that are able to beat Northwestern. So at the end of the day, no matter what's going on with Maryland, if Maryland wants to back up all the talk it did during the preseason, which it isn't doing this season, if it wants to do that, who cares what happened with your, you know, third assistant coach, whatever, that you hired, and tight ends coach or whatever. Like, it is what it is. You just got to put that behind you. And once again, these are the kind of things that separate really good teams from teams that aren't that great, or when they're able to overcome these kind of things. I have no doubt that a team like Michigan is going to come out. They're not going to care about all the scandal that's going on. Maybe they won't play as well if they don't have the team signs or whatever, but like, they're going to be fine because they're really good and they're really well coached. And I don't get the sense that Maryland's focus has been 100% there, but not necessarily because of stuff like that. I just feel like coming off of a bye week, we have now, I believe, an 8-game track record, if you include the COVID season, of Mike Locksley being the head coach for a team coming off of a bye week. He hasn't been successful in any of them. So we have a track record of them not being focused coming off of a bye week. That's more what I attributed to than maybe anything going on off the field.
Yeah, and it's no excuses, right? You can't allow Northwestern to score on drives where they start at their own 3-yard line, then at their own 1-yard line. So that's two scoring drives that you allow that are 97 and 99 yards each, right? Though that's two things that just obviously can't happen. Brendan Sullivan cannot outplay Talia Tagovailoa. It's Northwestern's defense cannot outplay your defense, right? It's just that Maryland better. I mean, I want to say the better team lost, but I don't know if that's appropriate. But I guess Maryland was probably they're in a better position to win games like this, and they did a lot of things wrong today, and it hurt them in the end.
Well, let me talk about my one main criticism of Josh Gattis today, the way he called the game. I can't understand it, but they're just refusing to use the running backs, and especially they're refusing to hand the ball off to Roman Hemby. I don't know what his injury situation is, if he's fully healthy or whatever, but you had the bye week and you've had a couple games since he supposedly got nicked up. So like, you would presume he's healthy. They're just not handing him the ball. Like he had 4 rushes today. He had 6 receptions. Like he's not a receiving back. He's a running back. And like, the same thing goes, like Colby McDonald leads the team in rushing attempts, which I'm fine with. He's been pretty good for them this year, but he leads the team with 43 yards on 5 attempts. Kaden Prather, you know, they give him an end around. I'm fine with that every now and then. You know, that play worked out. Obviously, that was, I believe, one of their first plays from scrimmage on that first drive there. And then you see Ramon Brown for one play. Antoine Littleton gets a couple handoffs. But for the most part, they just were not running the ball today, which, I mean, yeah, I guess it's a personnel thing, because maybe you don't trust that offensive line. Maybe the running backs aren't healthy or whatever it is, but it just seems so weird that there was just like a refusal to give Roman Hemby, who you can make an argument is their best skill player, at least in terms of talent. It just seemed like they were actively avoiding handing him the ball, which makes me think that maybe there's something going on that we don't know about.
It's not even Roman Hemby. I mean, you're not going to win football games if you don't run the ball. And this is like four games in a row now where they're just not throwing the ball. And talking about Lois having close to 50 passing attempts. Like, your running backs cannot combine for only 14 rushes in an entire game against Northwestern. That cannot happen. It makes no sense. It makes no sense. There's having an air raid offense, and then there's having an offense where you just refuse to run the ball. Those are two different things.
Yeah, it's not that they don't have the personnel to throw the ball. And Corey Dyches is not, you know, producing at the same level as he was earlier in the season. It seems like maybe teams have figured him out. They're kind of just treating him as another receiver at this point, so you kind of lose that mismatch a little bit. But also on the other end, on the defensive end, when we're talking about running backs, it felt like Northwestern was really content with throwing a lot of screens, a lot of halfback screens. Maryland did a couple of them as well. Roman Hemby had a touchdown on him.
Yeah.
That was you know, that was the highlight of his day. But, you know, Northwestern, it just felt like Maryland couldn't stop these screens for some reason. Maryland didn't know they were coming. Maryland needs to start stealing other team signs or something. Like, there was that play. It was like a 50-yard screen in the fourth quarter. And when that happened, and then I think Northwestern had to settle for a field goal that made it a 13-point lead instead of a 17-point lead. You know, that play, to me, it felt like when that happened, that game was over. It felt like when that happened, it was like Northwestern's going to score again, and I don't know if Maryland has two touchdowns in them. Like, plays like that, it's just breakdowns by all, you know, a screen pass when it gets 50 yards, that's a breakdown on all levels. That's the line not being able to adjust fast enough. That's the linebackers not playing in coverage well enough and not winning their matchups. And that's the secondary not being there to help them. It just felt like there were so many of those plays today where it was so emblematic of what this game was and what these last couple of weeks have been like for Maryland, where you're just seeing breakdowns on all levels of the team. And it's just frustrating to watch because you've seen them stop those plays in the past, but you're not seeing them do it today against a team that is probably worse than some of the teams that they have been able to have success against, at least on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I think the best way to put it, just how bad Maryland's defense today kind of in perspective. So Northwestern's opponents this season: Rutgers, UTEP, Duke, Minnesota, Penn State, Howard, Nebraska, and Maryland. Okay.
Northwestern. There's a couple good teams in there.
Northwestern got their second most yards in a game, second most points in a game as well, against Maryland out of all those teams. Like,
they scored more points today. They scored 10 more points today than they scored against Howard.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Maryland played Howard a couple years ago?
70-0.
Howard was, they didn't belong on the same field. And that's not hating on Howard. It's just, these are different levels of football. It's an FCS team versus an FBS team. Like, That can't happen. It's the same quarterback. I know it's his first start against Howard, but it's the same quarterback. It's the same offense. Like, it just can't happen. This is the kind of stuff that when Mike Locksley and his team talk about changing the narrative around Maryland football, and then you put up games like this,
adorable.
Why should anyone believe that the narrative is in any way changing? The narrative is not changing. It's the same thing.
Worse.
Don't believe Maryland until they actually beat someone, because they're going to do this every year. Now you're going to go play Penn State next week. And like I said, Penn State has struggled on offense the last 2 weeks, but Penn State is an outstanding team. I have no doubt in my mind that Penn State's going to win that game right now. You know, maybe something will come up, but, you know, until I see it, I'm not very confident at all about this Maryland team. And, you know, we talked about the path to bowl eligibility after starting 5-0, even having this conversation is crazy. But, I mean, they're going to be underdogs in their next four games, realistically, or in the Nebraska game and the Rutgers game might be a pick 'em, but it's, you know, they're going to be.
I think Rutgers is going to be favored pretty easily.
Well, we'll see how they end the season. Rutgers is probably going to stack some losses here, but regardless, like, you know, Maryland's path to bowl eligibility is getting slimmer. And after what we saw today from them, I can't sit here and tell you super confidently that I think they're going to be playing in a bowl game. Like, I do think they're going to be playing in a bowl game because it's a numbers game, and I think that they're going to eventually probably turn some stuff around, because it's not like they're dealing with super systemic things that are unfixable, because we've seen it before. But it just feels like everything at the same time every season starts to trend downwards. And we saw it last year when they came off the bye and then played their two worst games of the season against Wisconsin and Penn State. We saw coming into the bye, they played their worst game against Illinois, and then somehow they topped it against Northwestern the next week. And our schedule is only getting harder. It just feels like everything is going wrong for them at the worst possible time. And I'm just, I lost a lot of confidence the last couple of weeks in this team. And I would say our predictions when we gave at the beginning of the season, where we were talking about them going 8-4, maybe knocking off one of the top teams. I don't know. I feel like we kind of look like idiots right now, to be honest.
Yeah, no, we definitely do look like idiots. I think I'm the biggest idiot. I traveled all the way to Chicago.
Well, was it at least a good trip? How would you enjoy the Ryan Field experience? How would you rate it?
The Ryan Field experience was it was good. It was good. I can't complain. You have a gorgeous view of Lake Michigan out in the distance.
For anyone that's watching on video, you can see the lake out there behind the trees.
Yeah, the field itself isn't the greatest, but the view of Lake Michigan is top notch. But like you mentioned, it's the narrative, and when you have your coach go out in preseason say we're ready to compete for Big Ten championships, and now they're trying to compete and stay alive in bowl eligibility. It's just that's kind of defined the past few years of Maryland football for you.
Yeah, we'll see if they're able to turn that around in the final couple games of the season. Andrew, anything you want to add before we sign off?
Very disappointing loss. Says a lot in a bad way about the program. Maryland basketball kicks off November 7th. That's all I got.
And I think you're not alone in that sentiment. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for making it this far, if you made it this far into the episode. Yeah. And well, I guess we'll learn a lot about this team and their resilience next week against Penn State, a really tough opponent. Our next episode, we'll be previewing that later in the coming week. So yeah, thanks everyone for listening, and we will see you next Friday.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.